another edition of the Falls Cast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. We've returned after over a month.
Yay, we're back.
And you know what? It is our third fake spring now.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I thought we were still
out
on
there.
Spring 1.0.
Yeah, I thought this
spring,
was spring 1.
I like
one.
Spring 1.0.
Spring 1. It feels like more like spring 1, considering all the snow we've had recently.
Yeah,
it wasn't
really.
Very long ago. There was still snow on the ground. A lot.
It was yesterday. I had some snow in the backyard.
Yeah. Was it all dirty and had stuff all over it?
Oh, yeah. It was a little yellow, too. It was weird. I don't
know. Boy.
But it's sunny and 70 right now.
It was lemonade snow. It was good.
Lemonade snow.
And it's good. You guys find a lot?
Was there a lot of landmines when it all melted?
There will. Yeah, I'm not going out there quite yet.
I haven't to look yet.
I don't want to think about it. But it is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Windows are open. Airing out the house. Getting the winter funk out. So, very nice weekend.
I am the funk.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to be go out the window, but he's not getting the hint.
But he's a funky comedina.
Did you guys miss us? Oh, my gosh. I bet our listeners are just loving this. Missed us so much.
Well, we should send all our listeners the pictures, because that would be easy. And then they could throw shit at us, put it on the wall, and then they listen.
False dark cast.
Yeah. Darts,
or they could shout obscenities at us. Or
Yeah, I like it. We could do stress balls with our faces on it.
Yeah. We can call it the heckle wall.
Yes. Oh, boy.
As you've heard, we're here with some of our favorite Falls casters, including Mike and Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Kathy McMenemy.
Hello.
And Stephen and Jennifer Mulay.
Hello.
Howdy doodly doo.
Oh, I missed that.
Was that a medicated howdy doodly doo?
Yeah, that wasn't a howdy. That was an outie, because I'm covered in knee surgery. So
yes.
That's what I got today.
She's got some drugs and not Sharon, man.
I brought out everything. I had tinctures. I had edibles. I had Percocets. I had some margarita. I was like,
bring it on.
Knock myself unconscious. Yeah,
we sat down and tried to watch the new episode of Picard, and she wanted to watch it. And I look over, she's going. It was like 7 o'clock, and she's all passed out.
Hey, that's me without being on drugs.
Me too.
On today's show, we will have Karen Norden, who was once a Fallsite and now lives in the Netherlands, where she's a best-selling author of Scandinavian crime thrillers, where Raven's Roost and Last One Alive.
That is so cool. So you're doing the interview with her?
Yeah. In fact, I have not interviewed her yet. So
okay.
We're recording this on Sunday. You guys will probably not hear this until late Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
But
right.
It will be up as soon as I finish the interview. But it should be pretty good, because I haven't talked to Karen since college.
Oh, really? Well, this is great. I mean, I'm going to have to check out her books. I am not usually like a crime thrillers kind of person, but I've been in a book funk and I need to find something new.
Same here. And it took me a while to finish the first one, because I was in a book funk myself and I just didn't feel like reading during the holidays. But I just finished the first one, and I couldn't put it down.
Really? Ooh. Okay.
And I
guess, well, I will look for it.
The second one just came in the mail yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I can't wait to pick it up and start reading that one.
Well, I'm going to check it out and definitely see if I can get back into my reading. I have a goal that is looming that I'm slowly slipping away from being able to meet, so I need to get to something to read.
And since you may have noticed our brief podcast hiatus, during that time, we have had some new articles hitting our website.
Yay.
Such as a look at the new businesses inside the Jenks building, including Falls Outdoor Company and Yada Yada Coffee.
I got to try that out. We haven't gone there and tried that out yet.
Has anybody, Bart, have you, Kathy?
I haven't, no.
Okay. It's on the to-do list. Maybe
it
we
is.
Should have a field trip.
Field trip. Love it.
I would like to go check out the kayaks, although we probably can't afford them, though.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I checked out inside of the kayak store as they were finishing setting up, and it's in the location of where the bookstore used to be.
Okay.
So there's a pretty open spot right there.
Where's the bookstore, though?
What they do with the bookstore.
The bookstore is upstairs now.
Okay.
Oh, trust what
I'm
saying.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm all right now.
It's a little nook as you walk up the stairs to the left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
And also, we did release a bonus interview with Michael Owen and his wife, Jody, who are owners and proprietors of the building. And I talked to them as final touches were being put on the building on the Friday before their opening.
We should reach back out to them and see how it's going. Yeah.
So it was a bit crazy, preparing for everything, but it was a really good interview. Just for people who haven't talked to Michael, you learn a lot.
He has a pretty interesting story and everything that he's done. So if you haven't checked it out, you should probably listen. My recommendation to everyone.
And be sure to keep sending your feedback to us. Tell us what you think of the show. Send your comments via our Facebook page or via our email, follow3press@gmail.com. Review us on whatever podcast catcher you use. This is a chance to send us insults.
Either for us. Yeah. We're kind of, we're in a funk with insults. We don't know what to say anymore.
We're running out of material.
Yeah. We need it. We're a little kick in the teeth every once in a while. I love it when people don't like me. It's
maybe
good for me.
Best weekly insult. We can have a new section.
That Suzanne's voice is annoying.
And speaking of weekly insult, how is everybody this week?
You know what? It is nice outside. I mean, I can't complain. The sun is out there. The wind is going a little crazy, but yeah, it's making me happy with the sun and the, about 60 some degrees. Can't beat it right now.
Yeah, we had dinner outside on our porch last night. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. We went out to Leo's and ate out on the patio yesterday.
Oh, their patio was open.
Their patio,
yeah,
they opened
up
their
patio.
It
wasn't supposed to be, but yeah, it was open yesterday.
It was so nice.
Wow. It was so nice, yeah. Yeah, we met our youngest daughter's new boyfriend.
Okay.
So we went out to eat and everything. We got to sit outside, so yeah.
Is he nice? Did you like him?
He's nice, yeah. Don't ask him. I mean, Mike is like, whatever, but.
He's still withholding judgment.
Did you pass him a note that said threatening on Mike or something?
Yeah,
or?
Did you flash your gun?
You're my daughter, you're in trouble.
He was cool, but he did tell him that, he knows where to bury bodies, so just FYI. But no, he seemed very nice. No, it was a good meeting, and it was nice to be able to sit outside and, enjoy. And, it was just, I was going to say this for my good news, but can I use it as my good news?
Absolutely, yeah.
Sure.
Cuyahoga Falls was hopping last night. I mean, we went down there and there were so many people, going and walking around and doing things. It was just, I don't think I've seen it that busy without it being like some kind of festival or something in a long time.
That's amazing.
And it was just really, it was really amazing. People were going out and going to businesses.
It was Spring 1.0.
That is true. But it was very nice. We actually saw Russ Baltus. He was walking around, so we got to talk to him. He was out there, and we were just commenting about how great it was just to see so many people out there enjoying all the restaurants and businesses that we have on Front Street, and it was very nice.
I couldn't get out and about, but I sat on my porch.
I'm not ready to walk around without a mask everywhere anyway, so.
No, I am outside.
I mean, not in the crowds. Sorry.
Yeah. Anybody else had anything that made them happy this week? Or
I took a trip down on Front Street, but I went on early Friday afternoon.
Okay.
On my day off. And I visited, a bunch of the shops down there that I don't get to go as often as I'd like. But I had the day off and I needed to decompress. Had a great lunch/breakfast at Fleury's.
Oh, yeah. See, I have not tried that yet. Everybody keeps telling me.
You haven't tried Fleury's?
Isn't that nuts? Yeah, no, I haven't. So, yeah, I mean, what did you get?
I ended up getting the country fried steak with the sausage gravy.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
The first time I've ever had that there.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be something I'm just going to have to get up in the morning and go and do it.
I usually get the Mexican-inspired or Tex-Mex-inspired breakfast when I get there, like the chorizo and
ooh,
Egg scrambles
and all those kind of things. And usually they can't make them spicy enough for me. They usually get to do a pretty good job. If you ask them to make them hot, they'll make them hot.
Okay.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, but ask them not to make it too spicy for me.
Yeah.
Can you make it less spicy for me?
More.
Give him all the super spice. Give me less of spice. Yeah.
One more positive thing. We used Grubhub for the first time for delivery. Oh. And that's the first time we've ever used a food delivery service. My colleagues had taken up a little collection because I was going to be, I'm out on medical leave for a couple weeks, and they got us a Grubhub card. So, yeah, it's like we used it,
it was super convenient.
You can track your little driver. You see when he's coming, and when he got the food, it was super cool. So, another fun thing. Yay, technology.
Yay, technology. That is, one of the things that may be a positive thing with this whole disgusting pandemic is that these new services are being provided, and you're able to order food from restaurants that you may not necessarily. I mean, usually when you do delivery, what was it? Pizza. That was your option, right? I don't want to go out. I don't want to get anything. I don't want to cook. Yeah. But now there are so many things that are, open that we can try different things. If you're just in a funk and don't want to go out and it's a Friday night and you're like, I don't feel like leaving the house again.
Yeah.
Don't want to go out. Don't feel like cooking.
Yeah.
Don't want to go drive to pick it up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ultimate laziness. But it's pretty nice when, to be able to have these services. And, I think that has been one of the positive things with, I hate to say that. That sounds cruel. But with the pandemic, it kind of just blossomed and bloomed and gave other people opportunities to earn some extra money and for us to try different places.
I agree.
Well, if South Park is any indicator, it'll be another 40 years before this is all over.
Oh, is that what South Park is saying? Oh, man. If The Simpsons is saying it, then I would agree because they can predict the future. But we are also very happy and thankful that Jen made it through her surgery and she is in somewhat good spirits. And
Thank you. All the positive wishes went far towards making me feel better. So now I'm on the mend and I'm going to be walking like a normal person soon, hopefully.
Yay. That is very good.
Yeah.
And I get a workout running up and down the stairs a lot.
I bet you do. Waiting on her hand and foot like she bring deserves. Up.
Oh, I forgot. I asked you this. And I got to go back down again. And then
I did that a few times.
I was like, ooh,
treating
I
treating her like the princess stuff. That she is.
So onto our roundtable. It's been a pretty hefty week. And this is just this week's news. Not counting, the last month.
I know.
On Friday, there was a student walkout at Cuyahoga Falls High School in support of sexual assault victims after an alleged incident between two students happened back at the beginning of the week. The alleged incident between an 18-year-old and 14-year-old student happened on the 28th, and despite originally deciding not to, the girl's mother chose to press charges on Friday.
Yeah, I was driving, going to get lunch or something, and I saw that there was students out there, and I'm like, what is going on? Because I didn't hear about it and looked into it, and it's the news were there, and I read some of the articles, and
a 14-year-old can't give consent.
Thank you. Mike and I have been having this discussion, and how the news should be actually being portraying this, because they do the Akron-Beacon Journal and everyone are saying that it was consensual sex. And it's a 14-year-old, we have decided as a society that they legally cannot give consent, right? So
In Ohio.
So that it's not consensual.
It's not consensual. And we do need to change our language and how we talk about it because, even for the 18-year-old, if we're not using this language, we need to drill it into 18-year-olds, male or female, that they cannot give you consent. And a lot of it has to do with our language and how we present it to high school kids. And because it is a weird kind of dynamic that you have, because you do have some kids that are 14, you do have some kids that are 18. And that is for that age group, that is a wide range of kids. It's not so much when you get a little bit older, 4 years is not that big of a deal. But at that age, there is a lot of growth that happens in those 4 years. And you do have to have those kind of discussions with the 18-year-olds or, 17-year-olds or whatever, and saying that it's not consensual. It doesn't matter what the 14-year-old is saying or doing or whatever. Yeah. They are not able to give you consent, male or female. it's not okay, and that you can legally get in trouble for that. And I don't think that there is that level of discussion that should be that we should be having. I'm not exactly sure what the reason why they walked out. We did reach out to a school board member, and we just basically got their press release, which is what everybody knows about. So, of course, they're keeping it closed. Because it's still a pending investigation. And we don't have much of the information, but I thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of have that discussion of, what do you guys think about that? What is your thoughts on an 18 and a 14-year-old, or a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, or whatever we're having it, wherever it is, especially in a high school environment where you could have that range of from 13 to 19, really. And you're putting them into the classrooms and having them interact. And should we do a better job of explaining what consent is and what,
at an earlier age with the sexual education program the laws.
And that's the problem. People don't want to get proper sex education.
Exactly.
Even the high school level, even when you're, junior, senior year. I mean, they don't want to give it. It should be in middle school. Should be pre-puberty, right around the beginning of puberty or pre-puberty. And then to give them, and then you have, don't cover everything, but cover what they need to know. And then
as they
get older, you make the subjects more advanced. And then
correct.
It was very biological. Yeah. I remember in fourth and fifth grade, it was called family planning, and it was just like about the egg and the sperm. So it was all just about the biological reproduction.
Right. I don't understand why knowledge like this is so dangerous and so scary to so many people. It's knowledge, and it will help them make better choices. There'll be less teen pregnancy. There'll be less abortions. There'll be less of a lot of stuff, and less STDs and less premarital sex probably for a lot of people. That they just know the truth instead of learning it on their phone, looking at porn.
Right. I mean, and that's a really good point from, when we were growing up, we did not have, all this stuff accessible at our fingertips. And, the young adults now do. And that's where they're going to get their information from, is from the internet, if we were all talking to them.
So that's like even another more urgent reason to present sex education, health education to younger, younger and younger, because they do have these tools that we don't. And, parents can only block so much or control so much.
And if they don't do that, the only source of information for everybody is porn on the internet, is porn through their phone or tablet or portable device. And even if they're not allowed to have one, or you block stuff out of their phone, their friends most definitely, many of their friends probably don't have that. Maybe their phones have full access, and they can show their friends, and they share stuff, talk stuff. So the idea that, if they don't know, they won't do it. No, that's not really the case anymore.
Well,
that's never been the case.
Well, it hasn't, but it's much easier to get the information now than it ever was.
Right. And my daughter was talking about not just porn, but we were having a conversation with her when we went out to dinner about fan fiction and what is available to young teenage, more marketed to young teenage girls, and the stuff that they're talking about there and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So like porn is more, not to generalize, but to generalize, porn is more driven for a man's point of view, the visual, that kind of aspect of it. And fan fiction is more driven with the storyline and what, it's more driven to a female's point of view. And that's a very blanket statement. Don't come at me. I know that that's not, all for everybody, but in a very blanket statement. And this is very accessible to young children. And when you're talking about reading and fan fiction and things like that, they're going to get access to that. And I'm not looking at like taking that away from them, but as us as adults should be having the conversation with them, because it's accessible. They have it. They know it. And, the 18-year-old and the 14-year-old could be boyfriend and girlfriend. When you think about it, Mike and I were talking about it, it's a senior and maybe a freshman.
Yeah.
And that, may not seem that bad because they're in the same environment, but we have decided that the 14-year-old can't provide consent. So, I mean, I feel like I am asking and imploring that the news agencies start using the language of, what it truly is, a statutory rape. And we need to use this kind of language, and we need to use this kind of discussion, not just to protect the 14-year-olds, but also to protect these 18-year-olds. Because they are also young, and I realize it, and they're going to make stupid decisions, and I get that. But we need to make sure that they understand that it is not okay to do this, and why it's not okay to do this. And that's just my thought. Kathy, you had a
Well, yeah, because when I was reading it, too, it sounded like it happened at school.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's a whole other thing, because if you can't give consent at 14, then that is some type of crime committed on school property. So why was it the option of whether or not the parent wanted to press charges? That's confusing.
Well, it's pretty normal.
Because, but for claiming as a victim, but it still was something that happened on the school property. And apparently a lot of people knew about it, so it wasn't like...
Well, it maybe the daughter. This is total speculation.
Stop making up stuff, then. You don't know anything.
But right.
Four girls love with her boyfriend, and they fooled around, and they got caught. I mean, what do you think? What do you think is going to tell her mom? Is going to tell her mom? It's like, oh, it's my idea, whatever.
I don't know what.
So mom,
I'm not making or speculating or anything up. Yes, you are.
I mean, you know.
Kathy's point was, it's on school grounds, and is it a crime now? And did the school cover it up?
Well, right.
Not even that, but it's like what the girl, what the 14-year-old said or didn't say shouldn't really matter. I don't.
Correct.
Because if there's witnesses, if there's people that know for a fact it happened, then that person doesn't need to provide witness or deny or whatever. It's still something that happened. There's people that can say that it happened.
And the thing is that it doesn't matter what, the 14-year-old could be coming on to the 18-year-old. And, I mean, she could basically strip down naked in front of the guy. And the 18-year-old needs to understand that that is considered statutory rape, period. You're going to get in trouble for it. It's against the law. She cannot provide consent. It doesn't matter what she says, does, or do. And that's just the storyline that we need to start drilling into. And to Kathy's point, it happened on school grounds. So that's double crime. I mean, it's like we need to be having these conversations and discussions and start being more open with our young adults that are trying to figure out life, you know, and I can see how it could easily happen. I mean, I'm old, but I do still remember high school, you know, and I remember the hormones that are just being thrown around. And some of the 14-year-olds and stuff look very physically mature. I mean, for some reason, we are maturing faster physically with the way we look. Like Mike and I were talking about how even like middle school kids and things like that. I mean, they are maturing, and I don't know the reason why that they're physically maturing like that, but that still doesn't mean that they have mentally matured enough to make this kind of adult decision. And that is what we have decided in Ohio as the law. So I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
and
I mean, then we have to worry about the victim blaming too. So I mean, I can see that could be a reason not to make a big deal of it, because then that person's going to be eventually made public, and it's a 14-year-old. So you got to worry about that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But hormones and food, I think, is what causes people to mature quicker. That's my
tip. We were talking about that. It's like something.
Separate call.
Yeah.
Well, that
could be a
separate
discussion.
They jump into their dairy and the meat and stuff.
Yeah. That was kind of what, you know, Mike and I were discussing. He's being awfully quiet, but that's what he and I were discussing about. What is going on with, you know, when I remember being 14, I was not developed, you know, and now you start seeing a lot more of the, you know, younger age group starting to develop a little bit more. And that can be that can be confusing. It doesn't matter what she looks like. If she's still 14 years old, it doesn't matter. That's still, she cannot give consent. He or she.
Yeah.
And that was the argument. I, you know, playing devil's advocate, we were going back and forth. I'm like, you know, take this out of, you know, say it was a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, you know, be it male or female, whatever. So the 16-year-old is able to give consent, but the 14-year-old, I mean, that could be a freshman, sophomore, and the 14-year-old is fully yes, yes, yes. Legally, they can't give consent, but if they are all for it, you know, and it's not statutory now that it's a 16-year-old,
yeah,
you know,
so
how does... by Ohio law, you know, but it's like just because the individual is 14 now cannot give consent, but yet it's a closer age range.
Yeah.
And you have a freshman and a sophomore, whatever, having sex mm-hmm. or doing whatever, you know.
I think it should be taken on a case by case basis.
But
there are immature 18-year-olds and there's very mature 14-year-olds. I'm not saying. And I think the law is a hard black and white question, and what certain ages is this, a certain age of that. I'm just saying it should be more of a gray area, depending, and it should go, obviously 13's too young, but maybe 14's borderline with some kids.
I I mean, that was
these
what
long, I mean, these, yeah. How long ago were these distinctions made? Maybe nowadays, because of nutrition and education, maybe kids are a lot more advanced and more mature, and they can make these decisions.
Their brains
now.
Ain't. Their brains
their
don't.
Brains are possibly, not.
Though, maybe
it's possible.
Maturing a little faster now.
Maybe, no, yeah. Brains are not maturing faster. You don't even have all your white matter until you're in your mid-20s.
But by the law, in ways stated right now, a 14-year-old cannot give consent.
Google
yep.
it.
Correct.
And that's where I'm like, you know, if the 14 is saying, yes, 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 I fully know what I'm doing and I want to do this, legally, they aren't able to give consent, even though they are saying yes, you know, which correct. I don't necessarily agree with. I'm like, you know, if
it should gonna, be a I'm gonna go into some weird, strange area. When I was young, I didn't, I mean, yes, I had control over my hormones, but only to an extent. And if I had a woman naked, beautiful naked woman in front of me and she's going, come on, baby. I'm like, no. Honestly, I don't know if I would not be able to resist, no matter, even if I knew it was wrong, I would still do it because my hormones would overrid my fucking other parts of my brain matter.
Yeah, if you're 18, 19 years old, I mean, you're pretty dumb when it comes to sexuality.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
All my, like I mean, you know, if all my brain,
all your,
my dick.
Absolutely.
My dick, just a beautiful young woman telling me, please yep. do me. And I'm like, yep. no, I know I can't do it.
Yep.
I don't know if I'd be able to resist, and even
and
if it was wrong.
Absolutely true and correct. And I'm like, you know, I completely agree with the fact that a 14-year-old should not be given consent. But I also feel for the 18-year-old, too, because of what you're saying. I get the point of it is that we do not know the story. We do not know what happened. We don't know if they were dating for a long time. We don't know the story. But if we're going to do a generality of it and saying that this is the law and this is what the law is saying, then we need to stop using the word consent when it comes to under 16 years old. If we're saying that the age of consent is 16 years old, we have to start using or start having this conversation. So, and put things in place and understand that if you do this, you could get in trouble. And it might not stop. But we have to have this kind of conversation and maybe readdress, like relook at what the law says and why the law says the thing this says. I mean, we could go on and on about it because there's so many things that I feel that, you know, we need to look at by the law. Like, you know, a 16-year-old can get married as long as they have permission from their parents. Yeah. What the hell is that about? You know,
it's confusing and it's, and which of these laws are outdated and which of these laws should be, you know, made the penalties worse? And how does this work in today's society? Because a lot of these decisions and the morality into the injection into a lot of this stuff was these laws were made a long time ago. And these, you know, societal feelings that we have of right and wrong. I mean, things change, people change, times change.
They do.
But how much and by what level and if at all?
Well, I am proud once again of Cuyahoga Falls students for stepping out of their school and, you know, bringing this to their attention and this discussion. I mean, this generation is very much going to speak their mind and wants to be heard. And I am glad that they did this and we're now having a discussion about it. None of us have kids in school right now. So it's like, I don't know if I would ever have heard about this if I didn't pass and saw there was some kind of like, why is all the kids out there, you know? So it brought it to the attention and, you know, now we can have this discussion and hopefully this discussion continues. And
yeah. With transparency, hopefully that's the big thing, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we all know.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed.
I feel for everyone who's involved and got into this and who's on it. I feel for both sides of it. It's tough. Terrible.
It's very tough.
Absolutely. And the conversation needs to happen. So
yeah. Good job, team.
So from there, more school news. This week, the school board began interviewing the 8 finalists for the district superintendent position. This was narrowed down from the 26 applicants to the Summit ESC, who went through the applications and narrowed it down.
8's
so,
a lot. 8's good. That's
8 is still a lot.
Have a good, nice broad selection.
And I know the school board had multiple meetings this week as they, you know, did interviews.
Very cool.
I wish them luck and to find the best candidate possible. And I am glad that they have that much to pull from, you know, and be able to make the right choice.
And these people are from all over Ohio. It looks like one person is the superintendent in Columbus.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking at all. I mean, Cleveland, Akron, Manchester. Where the heck is Manchester? Do I know where Manchester is? Is that down by Columbus?
No, it's over by Green, I believe.
Oh, never mind.
McGreen and Ellett Springfield.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I think. Could be wrong. Could be a different Manchester, but that's the Manchester I know of.
It is in Adams County.
Okay, not the one I'm thinking of.
Adams County. Isn't that down south, Adams County?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's east of Columbus.
I was right. Look at me. Oh, jeez. Friend,
okay, it looks
you.
Like it's south of Cincinnati.
Oh, I'm not so smart. Okay, all right.
At least according to the map that I'm looking at.
Where we learn our state geography.
We do. It's been a hot minute since I've been in school and had to learn that stuff, but that's good. What did we do before Google, man?
Meanwhile, masks are going to be now optional, not only at Cuyahoga Falls schools, but most neighboring cities as well. The CDC has labeled Summit County as a low risk, and because of this, this also applies to school buses, which even back beginning of winter, even Woodridge was saying, you know, no masks in schools, but you're still required to wear them on the bus.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, you're sitting super close to each other in a closed tube.
Yeah.
With recirculated air. So, yeah.
But now masks are optional.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully it works out.
Didn't see a lot of people with masks on in Target, and we ran in there real quick yesterday.
Yeah. I've been at a few places recently where I was the only person wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was looked at like I was weird. So, you know.
Were you sure it was about your mask?
Well, yeah, you are weird.
Maybe they just nailed it, or maybe they just, I realized
that
I am.
That vibe, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I went into a small, when Jennifer had surgery the other day, I went to a little, like, dive bar out by the hospital, and right in the middle of this industrial commercial area.
In Garfield Heights.
It had great Google reviews, good food, and the pictures of the food looked great. Walked in, tiny little shit bar. Looks like it hadn't been cleaned in 25 years. You know, stuff stapled to the wall, pictures of Bernie Sanders on the wall, all faded. You know, you get the picture, right? Brown stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody's wearing a fucking mask. And all the locals are all sitting at the bar drinking beer. And then I'm like, I was so embarrassed I had a mask on. I actually took it off.
Oh, peer pressure.
All the eyes were staring at me.
You caved into peer pressure.
I did.
Wow.
I did. I wouldn't even shock myself. And then I ordered dinner and food, and she thought I was going to sit at the bar because like everyone else. It's like, no, I'm going to go sit at that table way over there in the corner.
Way over there, yeah.
But I must say the food was excellent, and the beer was cold, and it was cheap. So
Worth
the risk of the getting the Rona.
Well, not quite, but the beer made me feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably ready to stop wearing my mask most places. Maybe not in big, crowded indoor places like, you know, Sam's Club stuff.
It's really weird. I mean, my work has lifted its mask mandate too, so people are walking around and without masks and stuff, and it feels almost like you're missing something. You're naked if you're walking around without it. You're like, it's just weird. It's just very weird too.
It'll just take a little time.
It's going to take some time.
Big stores, I'm definitely going to still wear it. Costco, Sam's Club, grocery store. But, you know, if I'm outdoors, I'm not going to wear them anymore. And, you know, and if I go out to eat, I'm not going to wear it anymore. Although, I still don't want to go to a bar or a crowded bar. I'm still not ready for that.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Well, if they say that we're low risk, I'm okay with it. I mean, I think it's hard to get to be protected, you know, in that shell and then let your guard down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
You know, but if the positivity numbers are so low.
Yeah.
Your risks are low.
And to be honest, I don't really mind wearing a mask. I don't mind the physical act of wearing it, but what I don't like people judging me for wearing it.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one doing it. You know, when you're in the minority, you know, and I know how
it becomes psychological.
It does. And a lot of anti-maskers are like, ew, look at that guy. He's a sheeple. And then that's what I'm thinking. That's what I hear in my head.
Yeah.
The person looking at me, although they're probably not thinking that at all. Who the fuck knows? And I'm thinking that in my head, so I'm like, so it makes me not want to wear it for that reason, not because I actually mind wearing it, because I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Positive news, though.
Yay, let's do it.
Let's see if we can keep it positive. let's see how bad we can make this.
Oh, we can do it.
This would be positive news.
Challenge
you know?
Accepted.
Okay.
A local insurance salesman is making headlines for his bird feeder cams.
Oh.
Scott Keller was interviewed by IdeaStream here in the past couple weeks about his setup and his website, birdwatchinghq.com. On his website, he not only gives a look at his own backyard, but he links to birdwatching cams from all around the world. In the last year, he's had 42 bird species in his yard. And has had
that is over, so cool.
They had over 60,000 human visitors online.
I'm going to have, I was unaware of this. I'm going to have to go check it out. I mean, growing up, my mom had a book of birds of the United States, and we had bird feeders out there. And I remember as a kid, we would look at the birds and then mark if we saw it. So that was something awesome. That was kind of cool that we did. And so I've always kind of had a little fascinated of wild birds. And I mean, we have some bird feeders out here and stuff, but we try to, it's more keeping the squirrels away from it, you know, than getting the birds and stuff.
Is it safe to say that people are flocking to the website?
I did. I saw it. Those bird cams are cool.
I actually saw that article on PBS right when it first came out. It came through my Facebook feed, actually, and then I read it right away, and I showed Jen, and we went and checked the website out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Somebody should tweet about it.
Oh.
So I'm just going out. I'm going out on a limb. Sorry. I've nested my jokes really right here.
When you go check it out, I like how he talks about how to keep the squirrels happy because he realizes he's not going to keep them away. So he actually has to, he resorted to distracting them with other piles of food.
Yeah.
Rather than, because, you know, he's got all these extra things on his bird feeders to prevent the squirrels. But he goes occasionally they get through all this, you know, all this safety things. That one figures it out.
Yeah. They're very clever.
They're resourceful.
Yep, they are.
They are. Okay, well, that's pretty cool. I'll go check that out.
Yeah,
so,
nothing's in his yard right now.
Nothing's what?
Nothing is in his yard right now.
Well, that's too bad. Come on, bird.
If I knew where it was, I'd run over and wave at you.
That would be cool.
No, that would be
cool. No. Middle of there, Steve. Oh, man. Why does that bird look like Steve?
Or dress up as Bigfoot or something.
Especially with his hat, with his big green mohawk.
Yeah, a big mohawk hat. I think I'm a bird. And I'll go.
I will pay you a full $5 if you do that.
Hi. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to go rent like a bird costume and do it. We're going to do it right?
That would be awesome. Hilarious.
And dress up as Bigfoot.
Man in costume crashes famous birder's yard.
And we'll talk about it here on our podcast.
Yeah.
So Cuyahoga Falls Library will have ASL interpretation during the March virtual programs over Zoom in order to make their services more accessible to customers. March programs will include saving for college, functional resumes, the library's digital collection, and healthy eating. In April, they will offer a two-part beginner class on ASL, which I will say Kathy and I just signed up for, so we're going to learn. I know. We're going to learn more sign language than the one that Mike normally gives everybody, so.
10 ways to flip off your husband.
It's universal. Everybody knows it.
Yes.
What's this?
And he goes, the Total Friends one.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so we will report back on how that is. It's the beginning of April. But I think that is fantastic that they are doing that and providing this resource so more people can participate in our great libraries programs. Well, I already did my good news, so I don't have any other good news. So I think it is now time for... Bart's Arts. Oh, I missed that. That was good. That was our best one yet.
Clyde Cuyahoga Falls will be recognizing two supporters of local art with their second annual Clyde Spotlight Award. They don't have a date or time or anything. The details of the ceremony are still to be determined. The two that will be recognized will be Denny Stoiber, who is a Clyde advocate, has participated in curated art on Front Street and has had work displayed around town, and Cuyahoga Valley Art Center, who, as we've noted, almost every week has something new in the arts.
They do.
Stoiber will be receiving a commissioned gift from local artist Beth Lindenberger, and Cuyahoga Valley Art Center will be given a custom piece created by Collide board members John Ackerman and Matt Weiss.
Matt Weiss, we know him.
Used to be part of our group.
Used to, yeah. Yeah, still in our hearts, though.
He does wonderful construction work, so anybody out there that needs some small construction projects or large bathroom remodels, you know, get in touch with Matt. He does a nice
job.
Oh,
really? Okay. Yes. That's good to know. I did not know that. Did he do yours?
He helped me work on my dad's house. We put in some railings, safety railings from his door down in his garage. It's like two concrete steps, and he was unsafe for him. We're also going to turn a downstairs, he has a downstairs half bath, and we're going to turn it into a full bath by turning a former coat closet into the actual shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's a project coming up. It's a go. I have to go to the store and price everything out. So that's where we're at.
Oh, good luck with that. I always hate doing the pricing. I have great ideas, and then I start realizing how expensive everything is. I'm like, never mind.
Well, luckily, I'm not paying for it. It's my dad's house, so he's paying for it, and he's got a lot more money than I do. So.
Hey, you know what? Then that would be fun for me. I mean, if you want me to go and look and shop and things, that would be super fun.
I got it. Okay. Yeah, I
love spending other people's money.
And finally, there will be two concerts at the high school this week. Wednesday, March 9th will be the All City Choir Concert at 7 p.m. in the high school auditorium. And on Friday, March 11th, the Musical Horizons Concert will start at 7 o'clock. Featuring the 7 o'clock Jazz Ensemble, Bullock Jazz Band, Roberts Jazz Band, and the Gold Tones Jazz Orchestra.
Very nice.
Yeah, Musical Horizons is always awesome. I miss those shows.
Yeah, I would say that the high school's higher end bands, not the middle school bands, obviously they sound like a middle school band. I mean, they sound good, but they're middle school band. But the higher end high school bands, the ones that take auditions to get into, usually they're pretty fantastic at the Cuyahoga Falls. Their music program's amazing.
Mike, did you participate in that? Were you part of that when you were back in the dinosaur ages?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was in Gold Tones. So, started as fifth trumpet and ended up being lead trumpet.
There you go.
Very cool.
And the next year, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Was lead for a couple years.
I think you need to get back into doing the trumpet.
Mike, what did you do the first four?
You don't want to know.
Oh, man. So now it's time to wrap up.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us.
That's the listeners. Oh, no. Yeah.
Very, very dark turn.
So, yeah, we want to thank everyone for joining us this week. And thanks, Karen, for speaking with us also. Stick around for that interview right after this. And remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, article submissions, anything like that. You can shout them out to us at fallsfreepress@gmail.com. And be sure to rate and review us on whatever podcast catcher you use if you enjoyed what you heard. Exactly. 5 stars. Even if you only just give us a 5-star rating, that helps us show up in the charts.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Come on. Who doesn't want to listen to us? Crazy people. That's who.
So for now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, but yeah, I'll be there. I'll be in the U.S. this year, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to come to Ohio. We'll have to see. It'll be adventurous.
Yeah, I saw you're going to a New York convention.
Yeah, really, really unexpected. My book was nominated for this prize, and I'm like, really? Really? And like I get this email like, oh, your book is a finalist. Are you going to be in New York? We want to know if you're going to be there for the award ceremony. And I'm like, what? And then it's like, who's going to be there? Who's giving out the award? Veronica Roth and then the author from Outlander. I'm like, excuse me? Like Divergent and Outlander? What? What?
Either this is a real prize or a scammer has really figured you out.
Exactly. I'm like, are you sure you have the right purse? Well, I got my ticket, so I'm going anyway. So if it's a scam, then I don't know. I'll just be wandering around the city for a couple days. We'll see. Who knows?
It's not often that we interview someone from outside of Cuyahoga Falls. Usually we interview some people from Akron. That's okay. We're still adjacent. But this is probably the furthest I've interviewed anybody from outside the falls. This week we have Karen Norden, who grew up in Cuyahoga Falls and is now living in the Netherlands, where she has published 2 books Where Ravens Roost and Last One Alive. Karen, thank you for being on the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to it.
So how did you go from small town Ohio to the Netherlands?
Why does anybody go to the Netherlands? Love and adventure and cheese, I think. I had finished, I went to the University of Akron. I finished, I was doing some jobs here and there, went back to school and kind of was trying to find myself and decided to spend a summer in Europe. And I was in Sweden actually, because I have family in Sweden, and I met my future partner there. And I just thought, you know what, live the adventurous life. Why not move to the Netherlands? And so I did that. And now it's been almost 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Time flies when you're eating cheese.
So if anyone has not heard of your books, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So about myself, about myself and my books. About anything. So, yeah, so I'm an American author of crime and thriller novels, also a cat lover, martial artist, movie enthusiast, comic book nerd, cosplayer. And my two books, Where Ravens Roost and Last One Alive, are both Scandinavian noir novels that take place in Sweden that follow Detective Kjell Nygaard as he...
Thank you for pronouncing that. I read through the entire book and still didn't trust Google on the pronunciation.
Yes. I actually had to explain it to my audiobook narrator as well. It was really fun going through all the names in the book. But yeah, so the two books follow him. And while he, in the first book, Where Ravens Roost, it is more of a personal journey. He is on suspension from work and he returns home to after his father, who has Alzheimer's, claims to have witnessed a murder that the local police say never actually happened. So he returns home to investigate that. And then the second novel is a more clear-cut police procedural that takes place a few months after Where Ravens Roost, when he is back in his current town of Gothenburg working with his partner.
Where did you get the idea for Kjeld?
I'm not really sure if I can remember exactly where the idea for the character came from. I had just recently moved to the Netherlands and I wanted to start writing a novel. And I just had this image of a man driving home. Something had happened at his work, but I wasn't sure what, but he was driving home to see his father, with whom he didn't have a good relationship with. And this image kind of stuck in my head for many years and just kind of continued thinking about it. And that eventually became the character of Kjeld and the first novel, Where Ravens Roost. But yeah, I think he's just, you know, I've always loved those kind of hard-boiled detective characters that you have from TV and from novels. And I wanted to see, you know, is it possible to do a character like that who has all of those similar tropes that you see in detective novels, but without the cliche alcoholism as part of his personality? So that's kind of where he came from.
And no quippy lines and removing of sunglasses.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, those are all for his partner. You know, she's got the witty lines and
yeah, I almost feel like his partner Esme is more of the CSI type character.
Yes. Yeah, she's definitely he is definitely not a Sherlock Holmes by any means. He's kind of like the nose to the grindstone, the dog has a bone kind of detective. Like, he's just gonna follow, you know, whatever lead it takes, no matter which direction it takes him in. And she is definitely more of the okay, by the book, intelligent, we are following everything to the letter and we're going to get it right, but with her own form of sarcastic humor. And yeah, I think she's definitely one of readers' favorite characters. And so she gets a larger role in the second book. And I think that was a really good good choice, because she's quite fun to write.
When did you first realize you wanted to be a writer?
It was actually quite a long time ago. I think I was in the second or third grade. And my teacher at the time gave us an assignment where we had to write like a one-page story. And mine ended up being like 6 pages long. I think my mom still has this. It was like a 6-page horror story about Martians coming down and like taking over the school or something, you know, typical like 7-8-year-old idea of a story. And yeah, ever since then, I just have always been writing. I pursued writing at university. And of course, I got distracted, like I think most artists do, by doing other jobs. And then finally, one day, I was just like, you know what? If I'm not going to do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I just, yeah, sat down and did it. And now here we are.
How many different jobs have you done along getting up to that?
Oh, man, goodness. I mean, I've been a manager. I've been a pharmacy technician. I've been a teacher. I even went to medical school and actually left medical school to pursue writing. So I've done a lot.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, it was a big jump. Yeah, it was a hard choice to make. And I think some family members are probably still kind of looking at me like, waiting for the book that will pay my bills. But, you know, definitely in a happier place. Best decision I made. Yeah. Hardest decision, best decision.
So on the offside, when you're not writing, when you're not deciding how to kill people.
Which is a full-time job in itself.
Yes, it is. I've never thought until I actually started writing myself, like, yes, this is, I'm just literally planning out, you know, deaths of people.
Yes. And it's no joke when authors make those jokes about, you know, the FBI looking at their search engines. Definitely some questionable things that have gone into my Google.
So if people who follow you on Instagram definitely will notice, you get up to a lot of distractions. So what do you do when you're not writing?
Oh, man. Horseback riding has definitely been my most recent kind of like motivator for the day. Traveling, hiking. I like learning new languages. So that's something I'm always trying to do, trying to figure out, okay, which one's next on my list. But with the pandemic and everything, I've gotten into weightlifting, actually, which has been really good for getting rid of stress. So I definitely recommend that to anybody out there.
I would say I should try that, but no, I should not try that.
I mean, to be fair, it was really embarrassing in the beginning. So it took a while to get into it, but now it's good.
Back to deciding to kill people. One line in the book that really struck me, and it's near the end of the book, I believe. Is football really an easier conversation than murder?
For me, absolutely not. So it's funny because in this line, so football in this case is talking about soccer. The main character is quite a big soccer fan. He has very strong feelings about his teams. But I had to look all of that up, and I had to like call friends and family who actually know the teams and know, oh yeah, well, he would definitely be fans of this and he would definitely be against this team. So no, for me, murder is a much better conversation topic than football. Yes. Start up a conversation with murder every time with me. If you start with football, it's going to be like, okay, the ball is black and white.
See, that's one thing that pretty much every day at work, my conversations with coworkers consists around true crime. And so I'm just reading that.
Fantastic. Like,
no, none of us would know about soccer. So
no, I would definitely do much better in the true crime conversation department than basically any sport with a ball conversation department.
What are your inspirations for your stories?
Well, I mean, I think inspiration comes from a lot of places. For me, a lot of times it's either I see something that kind of gives me an image in my head, or maybe I see a person who is dressed a little bit different, or a line of dialogue that somebody says, and that just kind of sparks an idea about a character or an event. I try not to take too much from real life, although, yeah, when you're watching a lot of true crime documentaries to kind of figure out, you know, how are things done or what are the normal routes of investigation, occasionally you pick up on some things, especially if you're writing in this genre. But I usually take inspiration from just about anything. I actually saw a TikTok the other day that about a topic that I thought was quite inspiring. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll save this idea for later because this sounds like a good plot spark for a story. So inspiration really comes from anything and everything. So be careful what you say in front of a writer, I guess.
Yeah, I found myself in a couple of people's stories, unfortunately.
I've tried not to be too obvious if I have taken inspiration from people that I know. But I do, in like retrospect, looking back at characters, I'm like, oh, yeah. That seems a little bit like this person. And I have had people point out to me that certain lines of dialogue were taken directly from actual events.
Well, I mean, that happens. I've done that myself.
Yeah. I mean, real life is stranger than fiction, right? So
what are some of your favorite authors or genres of books? Thinking about going to award ceremony with two of your favorite authors.
Yes. Oh, yeah. very nervous about that. But I mean, Stephen King is the reason I even got into reading or writing at all. Probably the cliche answer for a lot of people. Anne Rice also, Joe Hill, George R. R. Martin. In the thriller genre, Jo Nesbø, Ragnar Jonasson. And most recently, I've been really into Lucy Foley. I really am very excited to get her new book, The Paris Apartment. I've heard fantastic things about it.
Now that you say the name.
Yeah. Well, her first two books, The Hunting Party and The Guest List, her ability to weave stories with with multiple points of view is just, I don't know how she keeps up with that. I imagine she must have a diagram on her wall of who these people are and how they interconnect. But also, Simone St. James is also a new one that I've just discovered. I really like. She does thrillers, but kind of with like a spooky vibes, almost supernatural. Leaves you kind of wondering, oh, is that really a ghost story or is it just something strange? And so those are the people who are inspiring me now or who have inspired me in the past.
What are your suggestions for people who they're trying to write and, you know, just not getting into it, or, you know, they have this dream?
I think if you want to be a writer, and this is probably like the cliche thing that everybody says, you have to read a lot, and not just in the genre you want to read. I mean, you need to read in everything, but if you do specifically want to write in a specific genre, it's good to read that genre just so you know what is what's common, like what are the normal perspectives, what are the normal points of view, what's the normal tropes. But yeah, read overall, write a lot, and try not to edit while you're writing. I think when you try to edit while you write, you start to second guess yourself, start to second guess your story, and you get that imposter syndrome, and then you have trouble finishing. So write without going back and looking at what you've done before. Just kind of go through to the end, because you can always edit something that's done. You can't edit something that you haven't finished. And find your own method, I think. You know, a lot of authors are out there saying, well, you have to wake up every morning at 9 o'clock and you have to write for 5 hours. And I think, yeah, that works for some people, doesn't work for everybody. So kind of, you know, see what other people do, try out different methods and then test the waters and see what works, and then enjoy the process. Because the moment you stop enjoying it, it can be hard to do. You don't want it to become work, even if it is work. You know, you want to keep it a passion. And then always add an animal in your story. That was something one of my professors always, my creative writing professor, said to me. And it is true. You add an animal to the story and it brings your world so much more depth and life. So get those animals in your stories.
Well, you do have, I can't remember what his name is.
Oscar.
Oscar, yeah. All I can think of is I related him to my parents' old cat, who everyone just called Jesus. Because every time I picked him up, they just said, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Oscar, the cat, the ginger cat, definitely inspired by my cat that's currently living with my mom, not far from the falls. So he also shows up in the second book, Oscar.
Good.
It's important.
So what's the future of Guild, or do you have any other books coming along in the future?
So I do have outlines for the next couple of Guild books, but I am currently working on something else. It's a standalone. I can't say too much about it yet. Hopefully I will be able to in a few weeks. But yeah, it's a standalone novel, also in the thriller genre, but a little bit different than this, not exactly the same. Trying to branch out more into the suspense, the psychological thriller direction, just to give myself a little bit of a break and to try something new. I am quite excited about it. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Nice. And where can people find your two books?
So this is a tricky question. No, the ebook and the audiobook are available wherever ebooks and audiobooks are sold. So Amazon, Apple Books, Google Books, Barnes & Noble. The paperback right now is a little bit difficult to find in North America. The best place you can get it right now is from thebookdepository.com, which is in the UK, but it does have free shipping to the US. It will be available on Amazon, hopefully in the next few months. There have been some printing issues, and it's going to be getting a new cover. The first book's going to be getting a new cover in the US. So hopefully that will be soon. As soon as I know, it will go up on my social media. But for the time being, ebooks, you can get them wherever ebooks are sold, audiobooks, wherever audiobooks are sold. And the audiobook narrator is absolutely fantastic.
The narrator.
It's Matt Addis. And he did the Millennium Trilogy by Stieg Larsson, so The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And he also did a lot of Doctor Who radio shows. So for all the Doctor Who fans out there, they might recognize his voice.
Yeah, I looked him up and I didn't recognize him. So
yeah, he's
I heard his voice. That is,
yeah, you might recognize if you hear his voice. He's a really great guy, really fantastic, and he did a phenomenal job with the voices. He gave each character their own voice, and he really researched what their voices should sound like, and they're fantastic. So definitely recommend the audiobook.
And where can people find you on social media?
So my main account's on Instagram. It's Karen Norden Author. I'm also on Twitter at K Norden Author. I have a Facebook, but I very rarely use it, so it's not a great place to get news about what I'm doing. So Instagram and Twitter would be the best.
Perfect. Well, I hope everyone in some way is able to find in some way at least your first book and check it out. I can't wait to sit down and start reading Last One Alive. I love the first one so much. So.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, you'll have to let me know what you think, because the second book is a little bit different. It's quite a change from the first, but the overall reception for the second one has been quite good. So good. It's very exciting.
Do you ever get back into the story of the serial killer mentioned in the first one?
Spoilers.
Okay.
No, he does come up in the second book, because so when you read the first book, in the first book, Kjeld is suspended from work, and it has to do with this past event, this past serial killer, and how it's affected his job. And when he returns to work after his suspension is over, that still weighs on his reputation at work. So it is something that people that he runs into definitely have a very strong opinion one way or the other about how involved he was in that event. And it does come up a lot in the second book. And I would like one day to write a quote unquote prequel that is just about that story. So
that's kind of what I was wondering, that if there was going to be anything.
Yeah, it is a hope. That character is important in the long run. So I don't know when the third or fourth book will come out. But if it does, then we will definitely see that character show up in some form or another.
They've got to be created first.
Yes. So we'll see. Yeah.
Well, Karen, thank you for being on the show this week.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for it with our time difference. I'm glad we were able to work something out here.
No, it's nice. It's great. I still have a few hours before dinner, and then just going to relax the rest of the evening. So hopefully you have a good day.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the day for me. So
yeah, bright and early.
And hope everyone listens next week. Thank you.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
I do hear a kitty. We'll probably have to kick that cat out.
She's in the behind the door. She heard your guys' voices.
Because she loves me.
Yeah, supposed to come in.